ओम ज्ञान तिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Series of verses is defining what is the real need of the living being. What is our real need? If we ask people, what do you want? They may give so many different replies. I mean, I'd like to have a nice house, I'd like to have enough money, I'd like my children to grow up properly, I'd like to overcome my health difficulties. I remember once I was discussing with some people, this was before I joined the movement, about what our goal of life should be. And one said, I want to die with a smile on my face. That was his want. That's what he decided he wanted. Others may want, we want a free state, Gurkhaland, or we want Manipal and Udupi should not be joined together in one board, one municipality. So many wants. But in these verses is being discussed, what is that one thing which will fully satisfy? You may have many wants. You may not want Manipal and Udupi to join together. You may want to visit the Miss World pageant. Or you may not want it to go on. There's so many wants. Hoya Mayar Das Kori Nana Abhilash. When we become servant of Maya, we have many, 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 many desires. And they're never fulfilled. Because one leads to another. You get one thing and you want something else. This is the nature of material desires. You would think, if only I could have, I just need about 10 lakhs of rupees, and all my problems will be solved. And maybe you get that 10, either you're hankering for that 10 lakhs of rupees, or you get it, and then you think, well, yeah, I got the 10 lakhs of rupees, that's okay, but I could really use another 5 lakhs, and it'd be better, yeah, also, this, that, so many different things. So many different things. Ah, I should have it. Foreign car now. Our whole advertisement industry is simply to increase your desires. I want this, I want that. But here is being discussed. The whole subject matter under discussion is what is that one thing which will fully satisfy you forever? Just like, what is the definition then of happiness? So that may be on different levels. Happiness may be, we were discussing the other day, passing stool. That's also one kind of happiness. If you, that story of the king, Gopal Bhas, after a long delay, he finally got to pass stool. That for him was happiness. That's also one kind of happiness. So happiness may be defined in so many different ways. For a man who's constipated or a man who's bursting to go, passing stool is one kind of pleasure. So, happiness may be defined in so many different ways. But what is that real, the full definition of happiness? In the material life, happiness is that mitigation of distress, just like passing stool, mitigation of distress, that is considered happiness. But what is that happiness which continues forever, which is unlimited? Brahma Sokyam, Tvanantam, Tu Anantam. Ananta means there's no end, either in time or in quantity. So generally if we speak about this, people think, well, that's just impossible. Why impossible? Why not? Then why do we hanker for that? That is being described here. That kind of happiness, which will fully satisfy us. That is, to come to a constitutional position of surrender to Krishna. And if we don't come to that position, then whatever else we may do, as being discussed here, it's simply a waste of time. If it doesn't bring us to the actual position of happiness, then it's only peripheral happiness. It doesn't satisfy us. Deep down inside, it doesn't satisfy us. It may titillate our senses, or it may give some relief from distress, but it doesn't give us full satisfaction. So therefore, it's just a waste of time. It's just moving from one situation to another. That's what people are doing. They move from one situation to another. I'm not happy here, so I'll go somewhere else. let me go, that in New York there's advertisements, go for a nice holiday to Florida, and in Florida there's advertisements, go for a nice holiday to New York. Or you find that people, this is coming in India now, it's a very common thing. In the Western countries, you'll see Friday night, driving out of everyone, huge traffic jams, driving out of the city. And Monday morning, huge traffic jams coming back, especially in my experience, London. There's people, they want to get out of the city. Oh, 5 days packed up in the city, they want to get out to the country. But if they spend more time in the country, then they want to get back to the city. Because they like the peace of the city, of the country. But they don't like it so much, they want to stay there forever. They want to get, then that same thing they were so anxious to get away from, now they're anxious to get back to it, because there's some kind of, they find some kind of pleasure in that struggle. So here's being given information of that happiness which you can go on forever, stay high forever. Not that you have to do one thing, then do something else, do something else, do something else. Try different things, and in the end become totally frustrated and commit suicide. So many people. They've been everywhere, done everything. Been everywhere, seen everything, tried everything. And still not happy. It's another thing I was told in my confused youth before Krishna saved me, coming to this movement. Because a lot of young people from the West in those days, and even now, even more in those days, they used to just hit the road, as it was called, as it is called. You just travel here and there. Go here, go there. Go to North Africa. Go to travel throughout the desert countries. Go to India. Go to Southeast Asia. Go to America. Just travel around. See the world. But then, I was also thinking, maybe I didn't know what to do. So to me, well, actually, I had a friend who did that. He traveled for 4 or 5 years around the world. But when he came back, he didn't have anything. He had a few stories to tell, but nothing much. Just like you see in the newspaper, they had these travel stories. Yesterday, Borneo. So people go there and they write a report on it. And they get some money. But what did you... It's just very shallow. You saw some people, and they're different to you, and it's unusual, it's different. And then you come back, but there's nothing of any substance. So Bhagavata points to our real need. What is the real need of the bird within the cage? What is the real need of the soul within the body? What is our real need? America needs Clinton. I don't know, maybe it, not the, I think it was Nixon, they made that. They had these different slogans for the presidential campaign. All the way with LBJ. That was one of them. You remember that? It's meaningless. It has no meaning. America needs Nixon. I think it was Nixon they had that. So, there's no meaning. What is your real need? Your real need is to go back home, back to Godhead. That is being pointed here. So theoretically, those who have joined this movement, we understand that our real need is to go back home, back to Godhead. But we are still within the realm of Maya. Therefore, even though theoretically understanding that and acting on that platform, we are still struggling with the Prakshepatmika Shakti of Maya, which when we try to get out of the covering potency of Maya, then Maya has another potency. The just stay here, everything's okay here potency. Don't worry too. Okay, Krishna consciousness is okay, but, you know, material life is not so bad. I've been your friend. Maya will give us the nice information in the years. I've been your friend for so many years. So many lifetimes we've been together. And, you know, I'm not so bad. I kick you in the face time to time, but... and it's not so bad. You could always try again. Bad time now, but don't worry. There's always a future. You can get born as... You can get born again and I'll give you a beautiful body. You can go to the Miss World pageant. Actually, it's hard. This Miss World thing means that
One person's happy and all the rest are disappointed. They're all failures. So that's the material world. Even the person who's happy, they won the prize, they're also unhappy. What are you doing with your hand in your mouth? You're supposed to be high class, Brahmin, Murha. Go wash your hand. I saw that personally. I'll tell you some other time. Prabhupada instructing about this. So, Maya will tell us, yes, it's not so bad. Well, Maya has many different ways of this pulling us down, again covering us. Come back. I'm very sorry to see you leave. Please come back. I'll kick you in the face. It's a high class. I'll give you a nice... I won't only kick you in the face, but I'll give you some nice situation. So even within the practice of Krishna consciousness, that Maya is working, maybe very subtle, because maybe for the devotees, the gross way of working, it doesn't. If you tell, you'll be happy in this material world. Dori said, no. I read in Bhagavatam. I heard this morning in class. It's not good. So I'm not going to go for that. So Maya may subtly catch us. You see, sometimes devotees, they're practicing Krishna consciousness. And then again, after some time, they're not. Again, they're practicing non-Krishna consciousness, Maya consciousness. And they wonder, what happened? And everyone else, what happened? They themselves are wondering that actually Krishna consciousness is very nice. How did I get entangled? I already left that. And now again I'm entangled. What happened to me? How did that happen? What happens is, very subtly, in the beginning, when we come, then we may have some, yes, now I'm finished with this material life, now I have to become Krishna conscious. But then, it may appear in the beginning that, yeah, now that's it. I've had enough bad experience of this material world, this philosophy is 100% correct, everything about Krishna consciousness is just exactly right, this is what I want to do, and no going back. But then, Maya doesn't give up so easily. There may be so many subtle ways in which Maya pulls us back, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warns on the path of Krishna consciousness. He gives some prominent examples. Nishijacha, Kutinati, Jivhingsan. Nishijacha, Kutinati, Jivhingsan. There's one more. Then, Lab Puj Patishta, Jata Upashakagan. He gives some examples that of upashaka, means weed. When you're pouring water on the bhakti lata bij, the seed has to grow up into a plant, creeper. The example has been given of a creeper. Creeper means it has to grow up on a solid basis, either up the side of a house or a tree. Otherwise it may grow, but it'll grow along the ground, it doesn't go up. So our creeper has to go up and pierce through the coverings of the universe and come to the lotus feet of Krishna in Golok Vrindavan. And then only when it comes to Golok Vrindavan, then the fruit comes of love of God. And this is how the example is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So you have to, as a gardener, the devotee has to water the plant by Shravan Kirtan Jale Koriye Shechon. By he sprinkle, the watering process is done by hearing and chanting about Krishna. But he also has to put a fence around the creeper. Otherwise, a mad elephant may come. Just like we have at the Vollore Valley farm. They didn't have mad elephants yet, although it's possible, because elephants run in the jungle. But who's that? Oh... Brajahari Prabhu, is it? Oh, sorry, let me plug it in. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You plant the plant and you put fertilizer and you make so many plans, we'll get this much yield and this and that. But if the wild boar comes or the mad elephant comes, then you get no yield.
then it's Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there's no loss or diminution. Neha Vikrama Nashasti Pratyavayana Vidyate Swapam Apyasi Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobayat. In Krishna consciousness, there's actually no failure, because whatever you do is an eternal, to your eternal benefit. But really we should try to see how to go forward all the way back home, back to Godhead, not get stuck. Because I remember first Mayapur festival I went to, Prabhupada had said that he was stressing that don't come back, make your plan to go back to Godhead, don't come back. This Kali Yuga, he said, it's already so horrible, and you don't know how much more nasty it's going to become. This stage will come where people, they can't even live in human civilization together. They can't live in the city at all. They'll have to run away to the forests and live in the caves. That time will come when people will eat their own children. There's nothing else to eat anyway. They're taking pleasure in that. They have children to eat them. So you don't, as you said, don't, Prabhupada is stressing very strongly, don't come back. So there's no loss or diminution, there's no failure in Krishna consciousness. But that's another thing Prabhupada said, that one who does not come to Krishna consciousness is very unfortunate. One who does come to Krishna consciousness is very fortunate. But one who comes and then goes away again, he is the most unfortunate. Now of course in one sense he's not, because he made some advancement and he's gone forward. But this we can understand, it's just like if a beggar is a beggar on the street, he's a beggar on the street. But if he gets lakhs of rupees, and then he enjoys a better taste, something better, and then again he just squanders it and loses it, then again he's a beggar. Then before he was a beggar, he was just content being a beggar. And he had some kind of happiness being a beggar. But now he can't be happy because he's used to something else. And we practically see that even the materialists, they have some illusion of being happy. But those who have been in devotional service and again go away, it's very difficult for them, even though they may try hard. Actually, you don't see it this much in India, because everyone's a devotee here. Even if they go away, they keep in contact. In the West also, they keep in contact, but because coming from a bad background, then if they go back to... And just the whole society is very entangling, and you may get involved in some illicit activities and this and that. And they're miserable, and they know they're miserable. Even more intelligent karmis, they know they're miserable. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving some guidance how to go on. You have to put a fence around. What is that fence? That's guarding against the mad elephant. Mad elephant means he's very strong, very powerful. No one can stop his effect. But he's a big body, but not much brain. So not much brain means an elephant can be controlled by a human being. Why should he be controlled by a human being? He's much more powerful. But because he doesn't have any brain, he can be controlled. But a mad elephant means he's not under control, he's out of control. And just without any consideration that someone's made a nice garden, we'll just go there and destroy everything. So the mad elephant offense is Vaishnava Parad. If we are offensive towards devotees, then that will destroy our spiritual life. So this we have to be very careful about. Very careful. Because everything finished, whatever you do. I know there are some devotees in our movement who I know particularly who are warning all the time their followers. I know especially Radhanath Maharaj, he stresses very strongly, don't make offenses to devotees. So it's very good advice. It's because we all have the tendency
because that's our nature, being conditioned. We always like to think I'm better, someone else is worse. And in spiritual life also, we have to discriminate between what should be done and what should not be done. It's not that our philosophy is not this, I'm okay, you're okay. This book was written, I'm okay, you're okay. You heard of that book? It's a kind of hippie philosophy. Let It Be. The Beatles, maybe you heard of that pop group. Are they still well known, the Beatles? So they made this song, Let It Be, and whisper words of wisdom, let it be. In other words, I'm okay, you're okay. You do what you like, I'll do what I like. This liberalism in Scandinavia and Holland especially, these in Denmark, Sweden, Norway and Holland, these countries especially, their whole national ethic is based on this. Yeah, you can do whatever you like. Homosex and teachers in the school having sex with the kids and everything, yeah, everything's okay. Whatever you like, it's okay. Everything's okay. Whatever you want to do, everything's okay. So, Prabhupada, when he was told about this, he said, this is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, I'm okay, you're not okay. If you're in Krishna conscious, you're okay. If you're not in Krishna conscious, no, that's wrong. So discrimination is needed. This is correct, that is not correct. And we should see, even among devotees, because there are the tendency to deviate or the tendency to not do things properly is very strong. And within our society, within the society of devotees, there's pushing to do the right thing. There's social pressure, peer pressure in every group of people. Among gross kind of people, football playing kind of people, or rugby in England, they have rugby, there's among gross people, the peer pressure is to be gross. If you don't talk with foul language and tell obscene jokes, and if you're not rough and tough and nasty, then you don't fit into that group. That's why it said that Hiranyakashipu speaks in Hari Bhakti Sudhatai, it's quoted in Nectar of Devotion, that association acts just like a crystal, it reflects. So, Prabhupada used to say, if you associate with drunkards, you become a drunkard. Because if you're going around with a group of drunkards and they're all drinking, you say, yeah, come on, what's wrong with you? And so you feel left out of the group, so you also want to drink. Ah, it's not so bad, it's only they're all doing it. What's wrong? I'll also do it. So, social pressure is there. So, in our society, the social pressure is to be a pure devotee of Krishna, which means you act like that. You act like this, you don't do this, you don't do that. So hopefully the social pressure is there to act in the proper way, to do the proper thing, so we can become pure devotees of Krishna. And social pressure, peer pressure also means that if you do something which is outside the norms of the group, you become criticized for that. That's in any society. So in our society also, you're not coming to Mangalarti, you become subject to criticism, and rightly so. Or if you're not chanting your rounds, you become subject to criticism. But the criticism within the society of devotees is a little different, because it's meant for the upliftment of the person. It's not in Kami society is based on envy. You want to put someone down. Ugh. Just see, ugh, he's no good. This kind of jokes you'll find, at least I know when I was, my memories of life goes up to the age of 18 when I joined, so my memories of living in the Kami world. So it's school years and 1 year after that. So anyway, among Kamis, you'll find this kind of undercurrent of envy and nastiness. They'll make jokes at each other's expense, pointing out some fault in the other to try and put them down. That kind of thing, that's just the opposite in devotees. Maybe joke, pointing out the fault. But of course, that has to be coming from very senior devotee. And for the upliftment, there's Sarva Bhuta Hite Ratam Gita, Lord Krishna mentions that a devotee is always thinking of the welfare of all living beings. Such a nice platform, can we imagine? So you're always absorbed in thoughts of the welfare of others. Mostly we are totally absorbed in thoughts of our own welfare, which we perceive our own welfare in terms of our own bodily welfare, mental welfare, egoistic welfare, that others will see me and they'll think I'm very good, or they'll see me and praise me, or no one will criticize me. That's why even in devotional service we have to be careful, these maya is catching us, that because we want to be gratified on the platform of false ego, therefore we may act as a devotee and do all the proper things just so that people praise us and say, oh, he's a very good devotee. But it's all just a show, because our heart is not becoming softened and we're not actually developing the sentiment of a devotee. You may be going through the motions of being a devotee, but it's all simply for the sake of enhancing our own prestige. We have to be very careful. Lab puja pratishta jata upashaka gama. This is a weed, the desire for prestige. So we may even act very nicely as a devotee, but it's all for the sake of prestige. That we find in the Bible, that Lord Jesus, he was telling there was some priests, like the equivalent of smarta brahmanas in Palestine at that time, Pharisees. So they used to make a big show. They'd go to the temple, Jewish temple, and make a big prayers and big show, bowing down. And Jesus told the story. There were two priests. They came out. It means like Brahmin class, Pharisees. So they came and they made an offering, big offering, a lot of money, and big rah-rah, big show. And in the same temple, there was one widow, poor widow. She only had 2 rupees and she gave 1 rupee or something like that, quietly at the back, and she was thinking. She was praying to God that, my dear God, I'm very fallen. These brahmanas, they're very nice, but anyway, you please accept my offering. So Jesus, he said that in this case, the brahmanas, they got their reward in this life, because they got the worldly prestige which they wanted. But the widow, she will get the reward in her next life, which is she'll get the blessings of God, because she was doing sincerely for the praise of God. So this we have to see. This we have to see. What is our need? Coming back to that point. What is our need? We always have to think, what is our real need? Even living in the society of devotees, it's, of course we say, Prabhupada used to say, anyone who just stays in this movement and follows this process, they'll go back to Godhead. But staying in the movement means, first of all, you have to get in the movement. You have to be moving back to Godhead. If we're stuck up on the platform of that different platforms have been given in Upadesha Amrita, those things which inhibit our advancement. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha janasangascha lolyamcha shagya bhakti vinashyati. If we're stuck up on the platform of, for instance, niyamagraha, simply follow the rules and regulations without knowing the purpose behind them, or not following the rules and regulations thinking, I don't need all that, or if we're stuck up on the platform of mundane greed, I'll enhance my financial situation by performing devotional service. There are so many warnings are there. Atyahara, prayasacha, prajalpa. If we may be in the movement, but we have a habit of talking all nonsense. So we have to see, are we actually moving back to Godhead? What is our... We should assess time to time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends this, I believe, in Chaitanya Shikamrita. A devotee should be introspective, should see, what is my position? What are my faults? Am I really making progress? How am I going forward? So we should see what is our actual position. That as we're pouring the water, is the creeper going up? Another thing he warns against, this I was saying, upashakagam, the weeds. The weeds may grow. Because when you're pouring the water, not only the plant that you want to come up, will come, but so many weeds will come also. So it may be that the weeds, they grow even more than the original plant that you planted. And it may even sometimes be that the weed looks exactly like the Bhakti Lata, the plant of devotion. It may look the same. Sometimes you see plants, they look the same, just like we have Tulsi and we have Basil, which they look very similar. Sometimes in the early days of our in London, one devotee came from India to London, and Tulsi had worship had just been introduced, and they were doing Tulsi up to him. Wait a minute, that's just a basil, that's not Tulsi. You cut it up and put it in the sabji. That's not Tulsi. So Bhavagrahi Janardhan, we hope Krishna accepts the sentiment. But it wasn't Tulsi. In the beginning days of our movement, worshipping Radha Krishna, there's no Tulsi. So anyway, one plant may look like another plant. You see, unless you're very expert, you may not be able to distinguish. So you may be watering the plant and thinking, yes, I'm doing very nicely. But actually you're just increasing your weeds. So you have to be careful. You have to see our need. What is our real need? Our real need, prem prayojan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that the real need is not dharma, artha, kama or moksha, pancham purushartha, the fifth goal of human life. Jara age trinatulla chari purushartha, in front of which the four so-called purushartas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, is religion, economic development, sense gratification and liberation, in front of, in comparison to love of Krishna, these four so-called goals of human life are no more significant than straw in the street. So our real goal is to develop love of Krishna, just like we were reading last night, that by these wonderful pastimes, Krishna was drowning in the inhabitants of Gokul in pools of ecstasy. So that is our goal of life, to become drowned in pools of ecstasy. But the pool of ecstasy, that just like we say, the ocean of material existence becomes shriveled up to the size of a calf's hoofprint for one who takes to Krishna consciousness. So the pool of ecstasy, the ocean of nectar, bhakti rasamrit, sindhu, the unlimited ocean of bliss of Krishna consciousness, that becomes shriveled up if we don't follow the process properly. There's external following and internal following. External following means rise early, put on tilak, all these things should be there. But internally we have to see what is, nowadays we hear a lot of people talking about their heart condition. I have a heart condition. So we all have a heart condition. What is our heart condition? Is it sarvabhuta hitairata? Are we feeling for the distress of others? Vaishnava is paradukaduki, feels for the distress of others. Is our heart becoming soft? Are we developing the qualities of a Vaishnava, Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Satyasara, Sama? These qualities Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has listed. He's very merciful. He doesn't find fault in Akrita Droha, doesn't. Satyasara, he has accepted the essence of life, Saragrahi. He's concerned with the essential. Sama, he has equilibrium in happiness and distress, heat and cold, profit and, what is that in Gita? Labha, labha, jaya, jaya. Sukha, dukha, samikritva, labha, labha, jaya, jaya. So all these qualities we should see. Are we developing our taste, Vishvaksena Katasuya? Are we developing our taste for hearing about Krishna? How does that taste come? That's also described in this very chapter. That susushu shadatanasya vasudeva katarujihi syat mahatsevya vipra. That taste, vasudeva kataruji, the taste for hearing about Krishna comes when comes by serving the devotees. So all this, we say Krishna consciousness is a science. There's so many different points. Just like in a nuclear reactor, you have to have everything exactly right. You have to have the chemicals in the right state, the right pressure,
at the right time, you have to press the right buttons and you get the right result. And if you do it wrong, then you get Chernobyl or something like that. Or you get some disaster. So Krishna consciousness, it's a science, and there are many different points, many different factors. Hearing and chanting has to be what is the quality of hearing and chanting? What is the attitude of the devotee? Are we making offenses? There's so many different things have to be considered. That's why a devotee is very alert. Devotee is not dull-headed. He's very, very thoughtful. Viveki. This word has been misused. Vivekananda. He had no vivek whatsoever. He was just a rascal. Vivek means this discrimination, always looking and seeing. What is the actual position? Am I advancing in Krishna consciousness? And what will be the symptom? Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Atma. One who's situated on the spiritual platform, then naturally he's happy. Chant Hare Krishna will be happy. So, are we actually feeling? We should. It's not something that can be legislated. You can't. Of course, we say that. The Prabhupada said you should be happy, but it's not something we can't make a GBC resolution. That all the devotees should rise early in the morning, chant 16 rounds, and be happy. You can't make a GBC resolution. But everyone should be. It can't be legislated. But the change of consciousness, that has to come from within every individual. You have to see. And change, the change is always there, because the nature of the mind is always change. Consciousness means to be aware. So that awareness, that means we're constantly being aware of different things, and there are different moods. It's not as the Mayavadis say, they have the idea that your consciousness just becomes some kind of oneness. But the consciousness of a devotee, it's rasamai, it's full of, pure devotional service means it's full of different moods, and there's sthayi bhavi, as a predominant rasa is there, but then there are different, in rasa there's different, chivalry, laughter, there's so many uparasas. So there are moods, there are emotions, there are feelings. Krishna consciousness means personal, there are so many different moods. So our mind may be, or our attitude, or our, it may be changing all the time, but unless we're fully fixed up in Krishna consciousness, we should be very careful that Maya doesn't catch us. It's just like we're walking in that forest, and we're walking, all of a sudden leech can get you, you're not aware of it. You're just walking, but the leech catches you, and then already the blood is sucked out. So that's not a very major thing. But it's like that, we may be moving here and going on in our Krishna consciousness, we're not even aware of it, but Maya has got the hook. And then we're going on, but instead of becoming stronger and stronger and stronger, we feel we're becoming weaker, and then we wonder why. At least then we should wonder why. Always we should be examining, viveki. We should be seeing, what is my position? Am I developing this taste for hearing about Krishna? Am I becoming happy in Krishna consciousness? Yes. Oh, if we think yes, then we should think again, because we should never think I'm doing very nicely. We should always see, yes, there's some fault. We should always look for our faults and try to overcome them. All right, any comments or questions?
Sometimes while acting on the behalf of a higher authority, we circumstantially become implicated in some Vaishnava drama. In that case, what is the reaction coming?
Well, no, it's not circumstantially. We act on authority, but there are certain things we have to do, but there are also ways in which we do it. I'll give you an example. Jayapitaka Maharaj told me years ago, because when I was a new Tamil president, I was pretty heavy on all the devotees. So he gave me some advice that Prabhupada made him Tamil president when he was junior to all the other devotees in the temple, and he was just practically a new devotee. So he said, I couldn't, you know, even though I was made the town president by Prabhupada, it was still very difficult for the devotees to accept my instructions. So he said, I found that I had to go to the devotees and with folded hands and very humbly request them, Prabhu, could you do this service? Like that, he says, the only way it worked. So, that's something. Now, it may be, in management, it's a thankless task, actually. Because often you have to act strongly, and you may have to act strongly with devotees. But if it's done fully in pure consciousness for the service of Krishna, then even if there is some... Even if the person... Actually, we should try to act in a way that the person doesn't become... We should try by whatever means to do whatever has to be done without offending the other person. But if the other person will only become offended, actually, if we are totally transparent and sincere in our activities, then if the other person becomes offended, that means there's a fault on his part. But even while performing our duties, if our own egotism gets mixed up with it, then we may make an offense even though we're acting. And it's actually, that's why I got out of management years ago, because I saw, you know, I have too much. It's very difficult to keep your own. It's very difficult. I mean, I'm not saying that everyone should give up management, because someone has to do it and it has to be done. And sometimes a lot of people complain about managers in our movement, but actually someone has to do it. And usually the people who are a little egotistic, they take it up, it kind of suits their nature. But then, on the other hand, if there's no management, then nothing happens. Everything's just a big flop. And it's not such an easy thing to do. I had experience of that very early in my days in Krishna consciousness. Very early, before I got initiated, I was made the treasurer of all Britain, ISKCON. So I was up there with the big managers. I mean, and we didn't have any money, which makes the treasurer's job a lot more difficult, because everyone's coming, they need money for this, and my job was to say no, even to people who are very senior to me. So anyway, I saw that from the very beginning, I saw, actually, it's management, it's not a very easy thing. Management in Krishna consciousness especially is very difficult, because it's like, often factory managers and successful businessmen would come to Prabhupada and give suggestions. Prabhupada said they don't know what it is to manage a spiritual movement, because in business, you can, by giving facilities and money, people are working for money. So you can fire them, you can blast them, but they have to come because they're coming for money. But in Krishna consciousness, people are coming voluntarily for a higher ideal. But not everyone can, to see the ideal all the time is very difficult. So within management, we get, instead of, it would be wonderful if everyone would just be on the completely idealistic, on the ideal platform, and everyone was eager and they were fighting each other. I want to do that service. No, no, I'll clean the floor. No, no, it's my turn to clean the floor. But we don't find, no, it's your turn to clean the floor. We find the other way, because although we've come for an ideal, we don't always act on that platform. And so the real best management is by example is better than precept. And Prabhupada was so successful, he gave rules and regulations you have to follow, but he inspired people to follow that. So that will be our real success. And we also have to understand that although people have come and they've given their lives and this and that, and we should appreciate that, people have given their lives, and be very careful not to have people give back their lives to Maya by our mishandling them, but that we are dealing with people at different stages of Krishna consciousness, and we can't expect everyone to be on the pure devotional platform. So part of management and part of life, even in Kami society, is accepting that different people are at different levels, and you can't expect everybody to come up to the highest level immediately. And that's what Prabhupada said. He was talking about, my god brothers are criticizing that my sannyasis are falling down. He said, but I initiate people and then they fall down. He said, but what can I do? They're criticizing, but I'm preaching all over the world. He said that at least I'm doing something, but if I'm so strict on my rules and regulations, then I'll be a mouse again. At least somehow I'm engaging people. Someone asked him, why are you giving these young men sannyas? He said, when the sabji is fresh, you cook it. That was Prabhupada's reply. You get some service out, and some service is done. That by saying sannyas, they get infused and they engage others, and maybe they're not, Prabhupada wrote that most of the young men I gave sannyas, they're not fit for it. So they can go on, they should go on as a devotee, but at least they did something. So Prabhupada took many risks to preach. He said, and then there was that big controversy between householders and sannyasis. And Prabhupada was saying that in Kali Yuga, no one can follow all the rules and regulations. Neither I can follow, he said, talking about himself, nor you can follow. So he said, if we simply criticize others for not following, then we won't have any movement. So it's an ongoing dynamic. In every situation, what's the best thing to do? You can't tell exactly. You can't tell how people are going to react. You can't always. A very advanced devotee who's a very expert judge of character, he can deal with people in such a way that they become uplifted. That's why Prabhupada said we need hundreds and thousands of gurus. He said every neighborhood we need a guru.
We need thousands of gurus.
Yeah, that's what Prabhupada said. He said in every neighborhood we need a guru. That's traditional Indian life. In every village there's Brahmins and there's the most senior respected, and he gives guidance.
Sometimes there's another type of criticism, like if you are following all the rules and regulations very nicely and you are living in a society where devotees are not following as much nicely, they tend to criticize you. Oh, why you are so fired up? What is the use of avoiding these things from outside? Why you are not eating from outside? Why you are so enthusiastic?
Should I take this phone call and then we'll take breakfast? And we can just, why don't we continue this discussion? It's an interesting discussion.
Will you continue?
No, I think we'll go on after. I said after breakfast because it's more or less.
But don't one small question, right?
Why don't we do it? Then we can all enjoy. We can all.
It's very small.
Yeah, I tend to go off and give a whole.
Okay.
A whole big long answer. No, but if it's.
It's a short.
It's short. The question may be short, but the answer may be long.
It's about Jesus.
Kim tad Brahma.
He said about Jesus.
That in Gita, Arjuna asks, Kim tad Brahma? What is Brahma?
So this is a very, I think, because you mentioned about Jesus Christ. And we said that the Brahmins, due to their previous birth, they're getting their name and fame, and now their prestige is there. And this lady, she's giving half of the amount that she gets in the next life. But did Jesus Christ actually mention the next life and the previous life?
Well, according to what's in the Bible, she will get her reward in the kingdom of God. The Bible is not very authoritative because it's been interpolated, edited, and so many things. But still, there's a lot of good things in it.
But actually, he said the kingdom of God.
According to the translation we have now.
And for the
because Bible, actually, the Bible, it was written down. The stories came in folk tradition. And it was written down some time after Jesus spoke all these things. It's not exactly Shabda Brahma. But there's a lot of good things in there too. No doubt.
This is this point about previous birth and next birth. It's very.
Oh, that's all edited out of the Bible.
But it was there.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Even there, it's now. You reap as you sow.
That can mean for the person.
Well, they interpret that to mean that if you believe in Jesus, you're saved and you go to heaven, and if you don't, you burn in hell forever. That's how they interpret it.
No means of redemption.
That's what I was taught, Catholic school. You burn in hell forever.
So you get scared and you want to cling on to the good. Out of fear, everything is done out of fear.
Yeah, it's based on fear. You have to fear God.
I was also with Kay. I was there for 2 years in Christian. I was brought up in a Christian nation, St. Joseph's. The same thing I felt. That fear was in me. But it's good. Initially, the fear is good. But then you have to deal with it. And only with Krishna consciousness you can deal with it. Be interesting to really get this point about previous birth and the next birth into the preaching from the Bible, from the context, because they will be more convinced about.
No, the thing is that they're not sincere. Whatever you say, there's so many evidences that Jesus wasn't a meat eater. He spent so many years in India. There's no record of his life from the age of 13 to 30. Absolutely blank. Absolutely blank.
They tend to refer to that incident where, with the miracle of a piece of fish, he multiplied it.
And you read that book by Satyaraj, Christianity and Krishna Consciousness?
Christianity and Krishna Consciousness.
East-West Dialogues. He discusses all these things.
Oh, I'd like to read that book because I meet a lot of Christians in there too.
But mostly they're not sincere.